There's many elements in this story, this amazing story which we know as the Epiphany, the visit of the Magi. The story actually of God's unveiling to the Magi, but also subsequently to people of non-Jewish extract, people who would hear the good news and allow it to take root in their hearts and minds. This was an opening of all that God had intended for his world, for all his world. And of course, before this, it was for the Jewish people. They were a people who were chosen for a purpose, for revealing to the world in which they lived something of God's grace. And there are plenty of stories in the Old Testament which show that not everyone was keen on that particular part of the task, including, of course, Jonah, who ended up in the belly of a whale. This reveals a new stage in the process of God's plan. And in this story, there is mystery. I think it's an extraordinary story of mystery and what God is doing and achieving here. There's intrigue, and there's conspiracy and murderous thoughts. But also there's elements of wonder and worship. There's elements of welcome and ultimately that's a witness also. We see, of course, the mystery and intrigue and that God chooses who he uses. It's very interesting in the Bible that in essence, those who are known as, who follow their stars and read their stars and try to understand the significance of them, in the Bible it says no. But actually in this story, he uses stargazers to actually seek out where the Saviour would be born. I find that quite fascinating. God uses who he chooses to proclaim the good news. And he draws all kinds of people into his presence and has done throughout history. Unlikely characters. I think Peter and Paul would be considered unlikely characters had you known them before. But actually he uses who he chooses, and that includes you and me. And I think that's quite fascinating. And of course the conspiracy and murderous thoughts bit was really well. Herod's grip on power was pretty tenuous even in those days. He was quite powerful, but the Romans kind of tolerated his presence and he had to be really careful. And so there was a conspiracy on. He wanted to know who this Christ child was, this Messiah would be. He says to go and worship him, but we know he had murderous thoughts. He wanted to do away with this usurper to his kingdom and his rule. And so he drew in, first of all, we're told, the priests and the teachers of the law. And I think there was already a turning towards and away from the Messiah by those people at that time. They too quite liked things as they were and didn't want their world rocked too badly, I think. So conspiracy and murderous thoughts are a part of this extraordinary story too. But at the heart of it, surely, is the wonder, the welcome, the worship, and the witness. These kind of four elements are, in essence, the bedrock of true Christian discipleship. The learning to take one's stand in the midst of opposition, and believing that God is present even in the darkest of moments. But it has to begin, in essence, with wonder, that sense of wonder and a belief that God was present on this occasion. And the Magi actually grasped this. They followed the star over many miles and ended up in Bethlehem, where we're told the star stopped over the place where Jesus was born, in that area. And despite being quizzed by Herod, they weren't going to give that game away. They actually made their way to worship. That's what they came to do. But there was a sense of wonder in what they sensed was happening here. That God was present in this tiny scrap of humanity in a stable in Bethlehem. And wonder is something that if you come across many children. Children have that sense of wonder about all manner of things. They get very excited about all manner of things. and they don't seem to lose it until they get a bit older. That wonder of actually speaking in creation something fantastic and wonderful, or the wonder of the relationship that they enjoy with their parents if it's been a good experience, or the wonder of Christmas, or the wonder of just living life and experiencing new things. There is a wonder element in their lives. And in a sense, it has to be true that we need to have that wonder in our relationship with God. Sometimes we get a bit too familiar with him, perhaps. One of the things that we noticed in this story is that when they came across the Messiah, they bowed their knee. We tend not to offer people the opportunity of doing that by rote. You can if you wish. Please do. Bow your knee. But I understand for some people that's a painful experience. But actually, we do need to bow the knee before God. And wonder at the extraordinary thing that he has wrought through the coming of Jesus Christ. And not lose sight of what he has achieved. Paul, in his letter today, reveals something of that. Because he talks about the mystery, chapter 3, verse 6 of Ephesians. He said, and he understood that he was called to proclaim this mystery. He said, this mystery is that through the gospel, it's the good news that Jesus Christ is born, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. This is amazing stuff. Members together of one body and sharers together in the promise that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. Paul understood that. And that letter, the whole letter, I think, is one of wonder and praise of what God has done through the birth of his Son and ultimately through his death, his resurrection, and through his ascension. And it's on this that Paul was able to take his stand in the midst of his suffering, because he wrote this when he was in prison. And he wasn't afraid to declare that, and no one was going to stop him from declaring the truth and the wonder of what God had achieved through Jesus Christ. I think it's important that we never lose that sense of wonder about God and what he has done for us. And then if it disappears from our worship life, then we need to go back to the source, go back to Jesus, and ask him to restore that sense of wonder within us. Just think about perhaps what we were and what he's allowed us to become in him. And if you think that your life hasn't been that dramatic and there hasn't been a huge change, that we still need to reckon that actually God had to do this work through Jesus the Messiah on the cross. And in order for that to happen, Jesus had to be born. There had to be a death. There had to be a resurrection. And we need to ponder upon these extraordinary things and regain that wonder if it has been lost within us. Paul never did. I think the Apostle Peter never did. And we ought not either. And perhaps if that sense of wonder isn't there, let's go back and ask about that today, so that we can then actually take a stand on this gospel message, as extraordinary as it is. So wonder is a really important and integral part of this message, the gospel message. I think welcome's in there too, because I don't know if you watch Midwives, do you? But it was very interesting to watch Midwives last night, and the men weren't allowed to be around at the time of the birth. It's not so very long ago that was true for some fathers here today as well. It's changed quite a bit now, but in those days they wouldn't have been around very much. But there was a regular trawl of people in and out of this stable trying to gaze at this wondrous event. The issues of cleanliness obviously wasn't an issue then either. We wouldn't be allowed in there wearing some of the stuff they were wearing in those days, that's for sure. We wouldn't get into the hospital in that state today. But there's something extraordinary about all this. People were in and out. Shepherds, angels were singing, shepherds were worshipping, and now the Magi too. There was a welcome in that state. And Mary kind of had to ponder all of these things, lots of things going on in her life, and she had to ponder some of what was happening here. And there was a lot to ponder, to think upon what this moment meant for her newborn son. And even though she had that prophecy spoken over her while she was still pregnant and waiting for the birth, and there were things spoken in there that would be dark times for her and for her child, I should think at this point it was far from her mind. But here are these extraordinary gifts of gold, frankincense, amber, which is associated with someone's death generally. So I wonder what she was beginning to think upon. But nevertheless, she welcomed these strange visitors, and it must have been strange. You have to press a keypad to get into some wards these days. No keypads at Bethlehem in those days. Welcome is an integral part of the Christian message, and we need to have open hearts and minds to those who are trying to make their way into the family of God, if that's what they're doing. And actually, all kinds of people are welcome. It doesn't matter where we start in life, it's actually where we end that's important, what God is trying to do within us. Wonder and welcome. And worship too. And there's all kinds of different expressions of worship, aren't there? And I suspect that we all have come from different stages and traditions in the past. And we do things slightly different here on Sundays at 10 now. But actually there's other things going on too. At 8 o'clock it's quite traditional. But it doesn't really matter about the content. It's about what God is doing in the context of worship. Because it calls us to bow the knee to God. Because it mustn't be about me. And it certainly mustn't be all of us together. It's about God and how we meet with Him and allow Him to speak to us. Worship is an integral part of who we are as human beings. And if we don't worship God Almighty, then we might just worship something else, which is not appropriate and not helpful for our development as human beings. We need to find the right place to bow the knee. And we bow the knee before Jesus, who is our Saviour, and the one who delivers us from darkness and actually restores us into fellowship with Almighty God. Worship is an integral part of this story, and it must be an integral part of our lives too. And then with Paul, we will be able to praise God for his faithfulness to us as we take our stand before him in this world in which we live. We do not do so alone. We're never alone. That in God, we always have the presence of his Holy Spirit. And God bless us that he has given us a church family. And together, as the body of Christ, we can move forward. And together we can support each other with the presence of his Holy Spirit. There's witness too, isn't there, I think, in this story. And sometimes it's there for all of us, even when we're not aware of it happening. But it depends on how we allow the story of God within our story to impact upon us. The story of my life was impacted by Jesus long before I began to realise that I needed him. And you look back in time, and you could see the way God was moving. But at the time, I didn't think he was at all. Didn't even know him. I think that's true for all of us. The story of my life was impacted, actually, at the age of 17. But it was much before then that he had begun to work. We need to allow him to work in our lives so that we can witness, by the way in which we live, to how wonderful God is. And how we think he is affecting the way in which we live and the things which we do. Sometimes it's not easy to be a witness. But just be aware of the fact that, you know, God can use your witness even when you're not aware of it. The way you respond to situations, when you can bring peace to bear where there's actually challenges for people, the way in which you don't rise to the things that people say quite as quickly as perhaps you once did. All of these are indications of the God who is ever present and is working in your life. Most of all, of course, in this story, and we haven't heard the last part of this story read, that once the wise men had bowed their knee and given their gifts, they had to return home. And we see that God provides them with a dream so they would be able to escape Herod's clutches and actually return home to continue perhaps themselves as witnesses to what they had witnessed. I wonder how often you manage to share with other people what you have witnessed to be true about this story. And the way in which the birth of Jesus all those years ago is still making a difference today in your life, and how it's impacting upon the lives of others. Ultimately, we need to know that God is ever present. And my suspicion is that others would like to know that. They may not put it in that particular way, or believe in quite the way we do, but actually I think they need to know it. And with God's help, and with an understanding of the wonder of God's doings and his presence in our lives, of God's welcome to all who will open their hearts to him, and the call to worship because of all he has done, and the call to witness because we can't help it. These things will help us to take our stand, and others to find a place where they can stand in the presence of God. Be still for a moment as we ask God to open our eyes even more to the wonder of his presence and his saving love, and as we ask him to help us to take our stand as Christians.